Well, if this is your first time joining us, now is the time during our gathering each week where we study the Bible together, what we as followers of Jesus believe to be God's very word written. And this morning we're in week 5 of our 10-week series exploring the Ten Commandments. So we'll be focusing on the command to honor father and mother. And by some amazing work of providence, it seems that many of you have actually brought your parents this weekend. So parents, you're welcome. This is an entire sermon dedicated to how they should treat you. So this will be fun. If you've got a Bible, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. If you don't have a Bible, not a problem. There's probably one under your chair. And Exodus 20, verse 12 is on page 61 in the Bibles under your chairs. I want to encourage you to follow along just so you can see here at City Light, what we really care about is not me and my ideas, but God and his word. So I'd love for you to follow along with us. Now, if this is your first time with us, just a quick background on the Ten Commandments. God gave his Old Testament people, Israel, the Ten Commandments just after setting them free from slavery in Egypt. So the Ten Commandments are really all about God setting his people free by grace and then teaching them how to live freely in light of his grace. That's what the Ten Commandments are all about. And the fifth commandment, to honor father and mother, is an interesting point in the Ten Commandments because it sort of serves as a bridge for the whole of the Ten Commandments. So it sort of serves as a bridge. And let me tell you why. You've probably noticed that the first four commandments focus primarily on our relationship to God. So it's not worshiping anything other than God, living for his name, resting to his glory. And then the final six commandments focus particularly on our relationship to one another in light of our relationship to God. But the command to honor father and mother is something of a bridge between the two parts. And just think about it. Parents have been endowed with, in a sense, a touch of the divine. We participate with God in the act of creation. That's why the Bible consistently connects honor for parents with honor for God as two things that aren't easily separated. And then, of course, on the other hand, for most of us, our father, our mother, our both, are the first and foremost neighbors we will ever know. And so learning to love our neighbor begins at home. As St. Augustine once said, that if you can love and forgive your parents, you can probably love and forgive anyone. But if you will not honor your parents, there's probably no one you will spare. And so right from the beginning, when it comes to the fifth commandment, what we need to see is that God elevates the relationship between parents and their children far above most of us do, and certainly far above our culture does. You know, so many of us, if you're in like your 20s and 30s, you just think, it's kind of like a normal thing to rebel against your parents in your teenage years, and then in your 20s and 30s, not call them too much, kind of stiff-arm them from your life, that sort of thing. But God would say that this relationship is actually paramount because it connects directly to our relationship both with God and with one another. So we have to put the relationship between parents and children in their proper place. Now, having said that, I think we also have to be realistic about the trickiness of the fifth commandment. Okay, the fourth commandment on the Sabbath, that one was tricky last week. But it was primarily tricky from a theological perspective. But the commandment to honor father and mother is pretty tricky from an emotional and existential perspective. I mean, I know in a room this size, some of you, when I bring up the mere words mother, father, or children. In a room this size, there is an array of emotions that probably range from delight. Like some of you, if I mention your children or your parents, it's like, yeah, they're wonderful. They weren't perfect, but a beautiful image of God to me, and you know, they loved us well. Others of you, I bring up those words and it's disillusionment. You know, you think of your parents or your kids and you're a bit disillusioned in the relationship. And for some of you, it's just downright devastation, what you've experienced either in your relationship with your parents or your kids. And I want you to know that this reality is not lost on me. And I believe this is a safe space for us to explore the fifth commandment, because no one's going to get bullied today. No one's pain is going to be made light of. And at the same time, I actually believe that the fifth commandment has something to say to all of us, no matter our experience either with our parents or with our children. So let's take a closer look at it. This is Exodus 20, verse 12, the whole of the fifth commandment given to us in one verse. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. The big idea behind the fifth commandment is relatively simple. Honor your father and your mother. But you notice the verse sort of breaks into two parts. First, there's the command, and then there's the motivation. So what we're going to look at this morning when it comes to honoring our parents is we're going to try to answer two questions. The first one, how do we honor our parents? And then the second one, why should we honor our parents? So the how and the why. Let's begin with the how. How do we honor our parents? Well, the key word to understand if we're going to know how to honor them is this Hebrew word that is translated consistently into English as honor. And the word honor, the root of it in Hebrew, literally means heavy or weighty. Heavy or weighty. So in other words, to honor someone is to give them the weight that their position deserves. To honor someone is to give them the weight that their position deserves. Now there's two things you have to know from the get-go about biblical honor if we're going to walk in this command rightly. The first one is that biblical honor is always derivative. Okay, biblical honor is always derivative or a secondary honor. So in other words, whenever the Bible commands us to honor a particular authority, in this case we're talking about parents, but parents could really be a stand-in for other authority in the Bible that we're called to honor. Whenever we're called to honor a particular authority, it's not primarily an honor given because that authority is honorable. It's an honor that is derivative. It's primarily, I honor God. And in honoring God, I recognize that my parents are an authority that God has given. And therefore, I honor God by honoring them, regardless of their performance in the relationship. It's a derivative honor. It begins with God, and then it's bent outwards horizontally. Now, this is extremely important to understand right from the get-go because it answers sort of, I think, the question that all of us have when we see the fifth commandment is, why is there not an exception clause in here for bad parents? It says, honor your father and mother, and it doesn't then say, as long as they're like this, and as long as they do this, and as long as they provide this. And our knee-jerk reaction can often be like, honoring dishonorable parents, isn't that like, you know, like rooting for the Dallas Cowboys or something? It just feels like, this is wrong. You know, and literally for some of us, honoring dishonorable parents feels a bit like rooting for a criminal. And the way that we understand honor is so critical. It's a derivative honor. We don't honor our parents first and foremost because they were great parents, and we don't dishonor them because they were bad parents, or if they're like every human parent, somewhere in between. Instead, biblical honor is a derivative honor that flows from our honoring of God to a particular authority. Now, the second thing you have to know about biblical honor is that it's both an internal and external reality. That's why it's a whole lot easier to obey your parents than honor them. Because you can hate someone and obey them at the same time. But you cannot hate someone and simultaneously honor them. So let me give you my best shot at a definition or an answer to the question, how do we honor our parents? That's the first question. I'd say, in summary, we honor our parents by giving them the weight, respect, and love that their God-given position deserves. By giving them the weight, respect, and love that their God-given position deserves. That's biblical honor for our parents in general. Now, of course, the problem is if I just leave it general, about a million questions go unanswered, right? Like, well, isn't there a place in the Bible where Jesus says to hate our parents? How's that fit together with honoring them? Or maybe, you know, other questions like, well, is honor always look the same no matter what age you are and what age your parents are? And then other questions come up like, well, I have extremely dishonorable parents or difficult in-laws. How do I honor them? I want to try to get at all of those by giving you four very practical ways to honor your parents. So we've looked at the general. In general, we honor our parents by giving them the weight, respect, and love that their God-given position deserves. Remember, their God-given position, not their personal performance, deserves. But really practically, how do we love our parents in the midst of the realities of life? I'll give you four. Here's the first one. Honor Jesus first. Honor Jesus first. It's true, in the Gospels, Jesus repeatedly says, if you will not hate father and mother, then you cannot be my disciple. Now, you have to understand language. He's using hyperbole. Jesus is not contradicting the biblical command to honor father and mother. He's using hyperbole to communicate a message, and the message is this. God is our first and foremost allegiance, honor, and priority. And we actually profoundly dishonor our parents anytime we get the order mixed up between God and them. So first and foremost, the way we honor our parents is by first honoring Jesus. Now, how do you honor Jesus? By depending on him. We don't primarily honor Jesus by what we do, but by depending on what Jesus has done for us. Jesus has lived the perfect life we should have lived, died the sacrificial death we deserve to die on the cross, and was raised from the dead, so that anyone who puts their hope in him is gone from an exiled rebel to an adopted son or daughter. Now just think for a moment. Let's slow down. How might it profoundly affect the way you relate to your parents or your in-laws if you depended on this Jesus who is gracious and merciful with you? If he was your first allegiance, your first priority, how might it change your relationship with your parents if you derived your identity, safety, and security, first and foremost from him, and only secondarily and appropriately from them? How might it change your relationship with them if you honored Jesus first? You know, the answer to that question is going to be really different for different ones of you. You know, for some of you, honoring your parents means, look, I need to honor Jesus first. I need to actually receive my identity from him because I'm putting on my parents the role of godhood, saying, approve of me, tell me I'm okay, tell me I'm great. And when they don't do it, we demonize them. Why does that happen? It's because we're asking them to give us a security and identity that only Jesus can. For others of us, we are just constantly majoring on our parents' faults. You know, I mean, let's be honest. A lot of us in this room are millennials, which means professional critics. You know, and mostly what we see is negative. I see this that's negative. I see this that's negative. And we do this to our parents. God help us. Now that I have kids, I'm like, oh my goodness, I've got to stop doing that. I would hate it if they turned that around on me. But if you walk in intimacy and dependence on Jesus, well, then you're daily receiving grace, identity, mercy, and your heart is softened. You know, God has been so gracious to me. Perhaps I ought not hold my parents to a standard I would never want to be held to myself. I mean, I heard one pastor once say that some of us, I mean, if Jesus was our dad, we'd be concerned about the beard. You know, it's like no one could be good enough. But when we put Jesus first, we don't have to use or demand from our parents. We don't have to mooch off of them. Instead, we can honor them because we're receiving from God what we ought to receive from God. and therefore parents are in their proper place. So I think the best, first, foremost way that we can honor our parents, because, look, let's be honest, the application of this is going to be very specific to different specific situations. So I can't, like, right now in a sermon, come into everyone's situation and say, here's what it will look like to honor your parents in your situation. I just can't. I would never pretend to be able to. But what I do know is that if you cling closely to Jesus and depend on him, he will give you wisdom. He will soften your heart. He will take the log out of your eye so that you can look at the speck in your parents. Honor Jesus first. Second, if you're going to honor your parents, I think you need to honor them in an age-appropriate way. So the second way to honor our parents is to honor them in an age-appropriate manner. Okay, so that means if you are a child, and it's hard to define this biblically, but I would say in general a child is you live under your parents' roof or off your parents' dime, then primarily honor for them looks like obedience, just so long as obedience to them doesn't compromise obedience to God. But the biblical pattern for children is your parents in general, okay, we're speaking in general, your parents in general want what is good for you and are in general wiser than you are. And therefore, they are to be followed and obeyed and cherished with a good attitude, just so long is that they're not commanding you to do things that would compromise your honor for Jesus first. That's always got to be first and foremost. Now, most of you in this room are not, I don't think, what the Bible would define as children. So how do the rest of us honor our parents? Well, I think that if you're sort of in this young adult world, okay, let's say where your parents, you're not necessarily under their authority, but they're not yet to the point where your primary relationship to them is one of you caring for them, I think that in this interesting in-between, we honor our parents best through respect, not obedience. Respect, not obedience. It's a profound dishonor to my father if I call him for every decision I have to make. Because what I've said to my dad is, hey, you didn't raise me well enough to make any decisions on my own, so will you approve of this, will you approve of this, and will you approve of this? Instead, I honor my dad by occasionally asking for his advice on stuff. But I think that biblically, when we move from children to adults, honor moves from primarily stuff you don't do, disobedience, to active things that we do to honor our parents because of their God-given place in our lives. So let me give you a couple for instances. If you're an adult, one of the best ways you can honor your parents is by praying for them. Just pray for them regularly. Even if, like me, you have a parent or both parents that don't follow Jesus, like my dad, he doesn't follow Jesus. He thinks this whole prayer thing is a bit of a waste of time. But if I say, hey, Dad, I'd like to pray for you. How can I specifically pray for you? He never gets frustrated with me because he knows I'm really into this whole talking to God, or as he puts it, talking to myself thing. So if I he's like, okay, you give time to that. You care about that. So if I ask him, Dad, how can I pray for you? He feels honored by that. Pray for your parents. Ask them how you can pray for them. The amazing thing is if you struggle with bitterness toward your parents for any reason, one of the greatest ways to loosen the strangle grip of bitterness is by praying for your parents. It's just so hard to pray for someone and hate them at the same time. Pray for them. Second thing I'd encourage you to do, I think parents are honored by this with their adult children, is get to know them. Get to know them. Because Bill Gates once said, your parents were not always boring. They became this way by paying taxes and taking care of you. Okay, so they're real people. Get to know them. Get to know them a little bit. This is another way to honor them in an appropriate manner, is when you get to know them. So, for example, one of the things that's helped me honor my dad is just knowing a little bit more about what his childhood was like. Because sometimes my siblings will look at my dad and some of the things he does and the way he reacts and go, why does he do that? That seems so strange, this sort of thing. But then when you get to know him, I realize, you know, my dad is a first-generation immigrant who grew up dirt poor in a Jewish ghetto in Los Angeles. His dad never completed anything beyond junior high, ever gave him a hug or told him he loved him. That explains my dad's experience quite a bit. and therefore informs the way I'm going to treat him, and really does also empower me to be gracious with him. He's got an experience so far from my own. It also allows me to, again, honor him in specific ways. So my dad is 74 years old, and he's a bit exhausted from life. So my dad does not, like, the best way to honor my dad is not to spend quality time with him. Okay, he's like, no, I'm good, that's exhausting. What, you know, the best way to honor my dad is to buy him a gift. He loves it. Now, my mom, it's like, her love language is call me 6 times a day. My dad, on the other hand, it's like, no, just give me a gift. And if I get to know him, then I can get him one that makes sense. So, for example, I know my dad. He reads 5 books a week. I honor him by buying him a book that he would like. And I'll tell you, I saw this up close and personal because my older brother last Christmas bought him a book that my dad thought my brother should know. I won't like this book. And he was genuinely upset about it. He should know I don't like reading these highfalutin books, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I just always buy him mystery novels every time. You know, he'll read them no matter what. But if you get to know your parents, it opens up the opportunity to honor them in ways that are specific and make sense to them. You know, one last great way I would encourage you to honor your parents as an adult child is to thank them. You know, there is a constant refrain throughout the scriptures to be thankful. To be thankful. No one in this room has perfect parents. Some of us have had very difficult experiences with parents or with in-laws. But nearly all of us, if we were to spend some time this week with the Lord, you know, Bible open, journal open, with a pen, and we just ask the Lord, Lord, would you reveal to me evidences of grace in my life that are in some way due to my parents, and then just write them down. I think you'd be amazed what you find, even with the most imperfect parents. You know, maybe you don't feel like your parents shepherded you all that well, taught you about Jesus, whatever it happens to be, but maybe they provided for you well. You know, I have to say, like, my dad doesn't know Jesus, but now that I, you know, have a family of my own, I'm like, this is amazing. You really made, like, providing for us look like it wasn't that hard. This is really, really difficult. And my dad has given me a life that he never knew, and he should be thanked for it, not because he deserves it primarily, but because it honors God to honor the parents he's given us in ways that make sense. What can you be thankful for in light of who your parents are and what they've done? And then how can you express that to them? I'll give you a little hint here. Most of your parents existed in a time where communication was not purely over text or email. One thing that might just so honor your parents is if you found this crazy thing called paper and a stamp, and you wrote them a letter. Not first highlighting all the ways they've messed up, but just a letter expressing thankfulness to them in light of your thankfulness to God for any evidences of grace you've seen. Thank them. A final way to honor your parents in sort of an age-appropriate way that really should not go without saying is when your parents approach, let's just call it, I don't know a PC way to say this, when your parents get old, like my dad's 74, we're inching toward this. It is our responsibility as children to care for them in a gracious and patient manner as they journey toward the end of their lives. You know, this is such a biblical priority that many Old Testament scholars believe it is the primary thing that Moses had in mind when he was writing the Ten Commandments and he came to Commandment 5. That the primary thing he had in mind was Israel being a community that was attractively different to the community around them because of the way they treated their ailing parents. Because the community around them, like our culture, says, what value could there possibly be? And the Bible says, image bearer of God. due dignity, care, and gracious respect. And this is going to be, if you live near your parents, this may be a massive time commitment, not all that different from the massive time commitment they made to us when we were little. Now, I've got to see this up close and personal. I'm part of a team of pastors here at City Light, and one of our pastors, Gordon, is a little bit older than I am. You've seen him up here doing announcements. And his mother is in a nursing home. And to watch the way he has constantly sacrificed time to honor her by visiting, even when she has no idea who he is, I mean, that's just been an incredibly instructive thing. Maybe like me, you don't live anywhere near your parents. And maybe you need to honor them by just helping with the logistics of this. Maybe it means setting aside some money now or talking to your parents. Hey, like maybe a great application from this sermon could just be you have a conversation with your parents. Do you have any long-term care insurance? Like, how are we going to pay for this? What kind of plans do we need to make? Maybe you need to go see a financial advisor with them. I know I'm getting awfully into the details here, but the reality is this. The Bible has placed on us this command to honor our parents, and one of the foremost ways we do it is by graciously and compassionately caring for them in their old age as they have us in our young age. So honor Jesus first. Give them age-appropriate honor. And then thirdly, third way to very practically honor your parents is forgive them. Forgive them. No one has perfect parents in here, so this is a category for all of us. Some of us have very challenging experiences with our parents. No matter where you are on that spectrum, what makes us uniquely Christian children is that we are those who have experienced infinite grace from God through Jesus Christ. That we owe an infinite debt because of our infinite sin against an infinitely holy God. So what all of us have earned through our life is eternal condemnation. And God has placed our eternal condemnation on his perfect Son, Jesus Christ, and canceled our debt. And what makes us, as God's adopted sons or daughters, uniquely Christian sons and daughters of our physical parents, is our willingness to forgive them. Not because they deserve it, but because we don't deserve it, and God has given it to us, so we're supernaturally empowered to forgive them. Now, forgiveness means entrusting our pain and our parents to the God who judges justly. Forgiving our parents means entrusting both our pain and our parents to the God who judges justly. The details of reconciliation with that, those are going to be worked out on a personal level. And I'd encourage you, get into a city group, meet with a pastor, meet with your city group leader, ask them, hey, what might it look like? Because for some of you, this is going to be quite a bit of a journey. To forgive your parents could, I mean, it's going to take time. It's going to take processing before the Lord, maybe processing with a pastor, processing with a biblical counselor. It could be mean meeting up with them, talking about what happened, seeking reconciliation. For some of us, it might not mean that there's ever a meeting face-to-face. It's just too dangerous. Your parents are too abusive. The details of that, I think, are worked out on the individual level, and our pastors, our city group leaders will journey with you alongside. But for all of us who are in Christ, we deserve to be condemned, but now in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for us. We cannot hold on to bitterness and condemnation for our parents while joyously receiving it from Jesus. That just doesn't work. So we need to, as Jesus did, in 1 Peter 2, it says, when Jesus was reviled, he didn't revile in return, but entrusted himself to the God who judges justly. We need to entrust our parents and our pain to the God who judges justly so that we will not grow bitter toward them for any sins they've committed against us, and so that we won't repeat their sins, because honestly, that's what bitterness leads to. You get fixated on their sins, and then you just start repeating them because you were so fixated on them. But when you cancel the debt, extend grace, love them well, reconcile where possible, and live at peace as long as it's in your power, then you are free from the stranglehold of bitterness and from repeating. So I'd encourage you, how do you honor your parents and honor Jesus first, and then go out of your way to give them age-appropriate honor? Go out of your way for it. That's what it means to honor someone. You go out of your way to give them the weightiness that their God-given position deserves. And then you forgive them. They're not going to be perfect. They never will be. Forgive them as God in Christ has forgiven you. And the final way how to honor your parents or to honor the fifth commandment is to parent honorably. You know, most Jewish scholars believe that the fifth commandment has as much to say to parents as it does to children. And that only makes sense because if children are to honor their parents, who in the world is going to teach them this except their parents? And so we have, as parents, an obligation to our children to teach them how to honor us, because remember, we're the first neighbor they'll ever know, and we are a stand-in for God in their life, a representative of Him. And so we honor God, our parents, by parenting honorably. And I think this begins with having a united marriage. I mean, do you know how impossible it is for a child to honor father and mother when father and mother don't tell them the same thing and do some goofy good cop, bad cop thing? No, we have to be united as a married couple, cultivate love together, cultivate unity in the marriage, cultivate unity in our parenting so that when we tell our children, honor your parents, they don't become schizophrenic in seeking to honor mom in one way and dad in another way because they're totally on different pages. Single parents, let me just encourage you. You are my hero. Where the ideal is not possible, grace abounds. You're doing an incredible job. Let your church help you. So we have to be united. We also, if we want our children to honor us, let me encourage you, delight in them. Delight in your children. We all experience delight as genuine love, and it's very hard to honor someone that you don't think likes you very much. So delight in your children. Delight, enjoy them. I mean, some of you, it's like, yeah, they're going to honor me. We're going to do catechism now, and we're going to do catechism later, and then, you know, no smiling. And it's like, oh, for goodness sake, honor your God by delighting in your kids the way He delights in you. Delight in them. They'll be far more apt to honor you. Listen, you're no matter what you feel right now, okay, if you're like me and you've got very young children, please understand your children are not a prison. They are an escape from the prison of selfishness. Enjoy them. And then instruct them. The Bible perceives life as a path, loving God, loving people on a path, and our children will not just figure it out. They will not just figure out how to love God and love people. Please, for goodness sake, they'll just figure it out is not a biblical model of parenting. Biblical parenting is this constant instruction on the path. Instruction on the path. Instruction on the path of loving God and loving people. And then, of course, that includes correction. If we're going to parent honorably, it's got to include correction. God help us. Some of us excuse behavior that God curses in the Bible. We've got to lovingly correct our children when they dishonor us or God. And then we need to repent to them and in front of them. Because kids can sniff out a hypocrite like that. So when we blow our lid or we're not consistent, we need to say, look, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I do this with my 2.5-year-old. He has no idea really what's going on. It's like, Daddy was rude to you. Will you forgive me? He always says yes, which is great. You got to parent honorably. Now, as we close, why? We'll conclude very briefly here. Why honor our parents? We've looked at how, why. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days, here comes the why, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. You remember the background here, right? God took them out of slavery in Egypt and promised them that they would worship him in a promised land. And he said, if you obey your parents, it's going to go well for you in that land, and you're going to be there a long time. And herein lies the massive problem with the fifth commandment. How many of you remember what happened to this generation? They never even got to the land. Moses, who wrote the fifth command, got to see it, and then after he died, God let the people go in because that generation had completely disobeyed the law, including the fifth commandment. You want to know what happened after they got into the land? They got booted out of it. They didn't stay in it long. The Babylonians hauled them off to exile, and the Old Testament prophets tell us that it was largely because they disobeyed their parents. The terrible news of the fifth commandment is that none of us have earned this blessing, and all of us get the curse. To make matters worse, in Romans chapter 1, when Paul lays out various sins for which the wrath of God is coming, right at Romans 1 verse 30 says, disobedience to parents. That's an eternal curse, not just removal from the land, but removal from all that is good and God's blessing in hell. We stand on the curse side, not the blessing side of the fifth commandment. But I've got wonderful news for you. There has been a perfectly obedient son. Knowing our weakness, while we were yet sinners, God sent his perfect son, Jesus Christ, who is perfectly obedient both to his heavenly father and his physical father. He was tempted to dishonor his parents in every way we are, yet never sinned. And he earned the blessing of the fifth commandment, eternal life. And then he laid it down by taking our curse for disobeying the fifth commandment by going to the cross for us. At the cross, Jesus takes our curse. We get his righteousness. And orphaned rebels like us who deserve eternal cursing receive the eternal blessing of being adopted as God's sons and daughters. That is who you are. No matter what your relationship with your parents is like, and no matter what your relationship with your children is like, in Christ, you are a child of God, your Father. You can enjoy him now and forever. It's the greatest news in the universe. And by the way, you can clap. You remember, last week we said, you know, I know taking notes is the Anglo amen, but it's okay if you clap a little bit. Now, it's when we every day rely on the grace that is in Jesus Christ to keep us as God's adopted sons or daughters that we have everything we need to honor both our father and our mother.